Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who washes his hands even after using a towel, Pete Schwabba.
We are back. Starting hour number two on a very special Thursday night edition of Nightlight. Hey, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out their webpage, minocquabrewingcompany.com, to see where you can buy progressive beer and join them for live music, poetry, and progressive politics at their new tap room at 2927 East Washington Avenue in Madison. In just a little bit, we're going to have On Stage for Cancer, Audrey's Angels. They will be here to perform in studio. They're so great. They've been here before, and they sound amazing, like Peter, Paul, and Mary amazing. They're going to perform here in the studio. Right now, I've got a few more minutes with my old buddy, Eric Price. He is a Wisconsin native, and his credits include Mad TV, Reno 911. He was also on Breaking Bad. He was in a little film called The Godfather of Green Bay, and he is also a descendant, an alumnus, how do I say this, of Comedy Sports. That's where you got your start, in Milwaukee. That's pretty cool.
Oh my goodness. Yes. Oh, that was when I found Comedy Sports, I found my absolute calling, man. Nice. I went to a show, I think I was 13 years old. I went to a show. My mom was out of town, and her best friend Nancy brought me to a Comedy Sports show. I raised my hand and volunteered, and they got me up on stage, and we played a game. And I ended up working with the guys that I got to work with when I was 13 years old.
Whoa.
You know, and I told them all when I first started working there, I was like, oh my God, I don't know if you remember me, man, but like I volunteered, I raised my hand, I got up, I played a game with you. And he was like, oh my God, I remember that. But there, I mean, I found my family, man. You find your people, and Comedy Sports was such a wonderful experience for me. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. I was able to, I got in. And at that time, there were a bunch of very talented fellas that had just left Comedy Sports. There's, Dan Harmon and Rob Schraub. Dan Harmon,
yeah,
of Community. He wrote Community and also does Rick and Morty.
That's right.
He was a Milwaukee Comedy Sports guy, Rick and Morty. And him and Rob, and Rob, Dan, Kurt Scholler, Peter Alberts, these Bo Johnson, Mundy Carter, they did a group called the Dead Ale Wives. And I looked at them like they were my Monty Python in Milwaukee, man. They were so innovative. They were able to do. So I was a huge, like, super fan. And then I was able to start performing with those guys. And I really felt like they raised the bar. And all I wanted to do was I wanted to hang out with them constantly. I wanted to perform with them constantly. And Comedy Sports, I was able to work the boards, as we would say, you work. You show up, sometimes you get in the van, you go to a place that does not want you there, and you have to win an audience over. And some shows we would come in and just knock it out of the park. Some shows we would say, my buddy Paul Stasiak used to say, we came, we saw, we left through the kitchen. You know, some of them weren't all winners. They weren't all winners. But it was, yes, that was such a remarkable experience for me. Now, Pete, is your son doing Comedy Sports?
Am
I hearing that correctly?
You did. And he's
that's amazing. In Milwaukee?
Yeah. And he was a big fan of Rick and Morty. He just graduated from Madison last year. He's done a little stand-up. He's doing Comedy Sports. He's already written like 3 screenplays. I mean, the kid is like, he's like 10 times the student of comedy I ever was. And I
chip off the old block,
I don't know about that, but I hope he learns a lot more from the cool thing is, Eric, and it sounds like what you just said, my best memories are of coming up as a stand-up and the guys I met, just like you with Comedy Sports. And Joe has grown up listening to all my stories of the road and with comics and hanging out. And it's that kind of brother or sisterhood, brethren, whatever you want to call it, just that bond you have that's so incredible. Yep. And when you say leaving through the kitchen, those are the gigs that really give you backbone and that make you bond when you really bomb or have a bad show.
Absolutely. There's no connection to another human being like the connection that you build with somebody that you've bombed with. You know, someone right. that you went to war with. Because Comedy Sports, it's not like stand-up, you've got your material.
Right.
You got your tried and true stuff. you maybe try, you know, and oh, I'm doing really well. I can throw in some new material here, or I can go back to like, all right, man, I got to do the standards. I got to do the standards, get this audience into it. For us, we were making everything up as we went along. So it was a crapshoot from night to night. If they were going to dig it, if they liked a certain aspect of the show, but didn't like another aspect, we had to figure out the groove. Where's the groove? Where's the audience? Yeah. Where's the audience digging it? And then, but it was, yeah. We had so many shows. There were years there where I looked at, I still have my old date books because I wrote everything down. And I had like a show, I had a year or two where it was like 523 shows a year.
Whoa.
Like we were booking, dude. We were working really hard. Bob Orvis, who was running Comedy Sports, the remote business at that time. I'd look at a Saturday, I'd be like, all right, well, we have a 10 a.m. show for nurses. Then I'm going to go and do the matinee. Then I'm going to do the 7:30, 10 o'clock show. Gosh. Then we have the midnight show. Then I got to go and do a post prom at 2 in the morning wow. for a bunch of high school kids. So it was, but I relished. I mean, I loved looking at my date book and being like, every night I got a show, or I'd be doing stand up down at the Safe House, or I'd be doing a play at Skylight Opera Theater. My 20s and 30s, man, it was just packed with performance, and it was the best time of my life. Absolute best time of my life. Some of the best friends I've ever made. Still hold on to a lot of those friendships, and I miss playing. I miss that, and I teach a lot now, but I miss that electricity, dude, of like a hot audience that's there. We had a group called the Midnight Show that performed for a long time. We carried on doing the Dead Alewives when a lot of them left. We kind of did a resurgence and like a reforming of that group. That was really fun. But yeah, I sure do miss those days. You worked hard, yeah. But the hours you put in, it was those were formative years for me as a comic. I really learned. I was like, what do I do well? I always was trying to push myself like, all right, I'm going to go to Second City in Chicago. Cause I feel like there's not like there wasn't anything else to learn here, but I was like, I got to get out of my comfort zone. I'm doing all the stuff now. I feel like I'm going back to the same stuff. I gotta learn more.
Oh, that's a great.
So it's always good to be a constant student too. There's always people to learn from.
That is the voice of Eric Price. He is my guest here on Nightlight tonight. We're catching up on the radio. He is, joining me here. So Eric, I want to ask you, cause like I did improv in college, but when I was in Chicago doing stand-up, we'd hang out at some of the local bars and there'd be Second City people there and stand-up people there. How much of, and I can kind of probably answer this better with stand-up, but how much of doing improv are you born with and how much do you learn? Do you have to be inherently funny? I'm sure there are tricks you can learn, but the funniest people you've worked with, are they naturally funny or did they learn?
They're naturally funny. Yeah. I mean, it's, you cannot teach comedy. You can't. And there are people that teach comedy classes, and what they do is they teach you a format, or they teach you how to write and how to find your point of view and what you have to say about the world. Those comedy classes are great. I'm not saying that they're not teaching you anything,
right.
But man, there are people that just have it. There's just people that understand, okay, the pace and tempo of this scene. If I bring a call back now, it's going to be too early. But if I let that simmer a little bit and then I hit it later, I know that's going to crush, you know? Nice. So it is, but it's trial and error, man. You know, one night you'll be super funny. Another night it's not working so well. And it's, you know, it's tough to find your voice on stage. And I feel like when you see someone that's genuine and really in touch with what they have to say and how they want to say it, they're going to be better off than somebody that's still searching for their voice, you know.
Very
but
well said.
Comedy, I don't feel like it can be taught. We can teach you the skills,
right?
We can teach you the skills of what it takes to be a good improviser, those basics. But yeah, it is absolutely, it's, you need to have something, you need to have it.
And even when you are really funny, you still have so much to learn. Like it is a craft, so to speak. And like you said, you only learn that from the repetition of doing it over and over of what will work when. And yeah, that's a really great answer. Who are your influences as a performer? Like when you were growing up, you said comedy sports, but like, who did you see on TV or on Saturday Night Live? Like, who did you want to be?
Well, I mean, I knew at an early age that I wanted to be a performer. I was in my seventh and eighth grade plays, and I remembered feeling that rush of, I mean, I was like Santa in my eighth grade play, you know what I mean? But it was the lead. And I remember the pride in my father's eyes. Like when I walked off that stage, I couldn't believe the reaction from my dad and from my mom as well. But my dad still held on to that program from that show his entire life. Wow. Even before he passed, he let me know. He was like, you know, I still have this, right? But I was Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Bar none, hands down, one of my favorite performers of all time. When I saw Robin Williams at the Met, I memorized that. And I would do that at family functions. I would just do his bits from Robin Williams at the Met. Physical comedians for me, I thought were really funny. Were like when I was very young. I mean, Jack Tripper, dude could fall over like you know the way he fell over a couch. Him and Dick Van Dyke. You know what I mean? Early TV influences, and then in high school, Jim Carrey. In Living Color was on in high school, and I was like, this guy is untouchable. Who is this rubber face? Because I always felt like I had a real rubber face,
totally.
I could contort it and make myself look like different characters and stuff. But I liked the guys that were not too paralyzed by their own cool, you know, the guys that were willing to be silly and ridiculous and all in the name of comedy. Those people definitely had a huge influence in my life for sure.
That's pretty cool. That's I could totally see, like, you have that Jim Carrey thing. Like you're so, like I said, in The Godfather Green Bay, you were some of the faces you made and the looks you had, like, you can't teach that stuff. Like
big mugger. I'm a big mugger.
It was warranted though.
Lance was so funny with me. Oh yeah. It was a big fun character to play, but Lance would call me out and be like, there's that mug, dude. Oh, I love that mug. He loved it when I did it. You know, like, oh, there's those teeth.
But
that was also, that was a different time. I was so fearless.
Yeah.
I was fearless. I was like, I'm going to go for this. I'm just going to go for it 100% every time. And, you know, and over the years I was like, I gotta be a little bit more subtle, but I feel like I've lost a little bit of that spark, that trust in myself to just be like as wild as I want to be, man.
Yeah. As long as you know when to use it, when not to use it, I think you're fine. You just said something that made me laugh when Lance Lennon was so in character during the movie, who's kind of that snotty, thought he knew it all. And every time Lance would go up with all of his props as his character, Lennon would say, not over the mic, just for Lance to hear, he'd say, knock him dead, Tubby. Yep. And Lance would go, so great. All right. I've got two more questions for Eric. He's hanging out here, and that's coming up next. I'm going to ask Eric two more questions.
Love
that you're here, buddy. This is so great. It's Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. From the 920, Jim from Appleton says, favorite horror movie. I'm having a hard time choosing one, so I'll have to take two, 13 Ghosts and Hellraiser. I have not seen either one of those. Conrad, have you seen those?
Yes, I've seen Hellraiser.
That's not part of it.
What was the other one?
13 Ghosts.
Yeah, I've never seen that one.
Yeah, that's a good one, Jim. We haven't heard either one of those tonight. Thank you for weighing in. We are broadcasting statewide. In this beautiful state of Wisconsin from our gorgeous downtown Green Bay studios here at WGBW. Eric Price is with me for a couple more minutes. Eric, so you said you're teaching. First of all, what are you working on now? Do you have anything you're trying to pitch or write or get together? Where are you at with that stuff?
Well, I'm currently, I do have kind of a comedy partner, if you will, somebody that he and I have been throwing a lot of things around for quite a while, but he's a very busy actor. But we are working on something now. I can't really talk too much about it, but it's we're working on a show together with Jimmy Simpson. I'm very excited to be working with Jimmy on something right now.
Great actor.
But he's very busy with, like, I don't know if you've seen Dark Matter, but holy smokes.
Wait, I saw your post.
Holy smokes. That show is incredible.
Yeah.
Highly recommend it.
You went to the premiere. I saw that on Facebook, but is it out yet?
Because
I looked for it immediately, but I don't think it had dropped yet.
I sure did.
Okay.
It just came out on Apple TV. It just came out, I think, maybe yesterday or the day before.
Okay.
Please go see it. Please see. Go see it. Go home and see it on your Apple. But Apple TV did it right with this movie. Jennifer Connelly can just a second. First of all, stunning in person, unbelievably stunning. But what a super talent! Her and Joel Edgerton, and Jimmy gets a chance to do some really great stuff in this show. So I've been working with him on stuff. I've been teaching this program for 13 years, which was not my intention necessarily when I first moved out here to teach a middle school arts program. But I'll tell you what, man, it has been one of the most satisfying and most, I have learned so much from these kids. And these are really important years for these kids to find their voice and to find a group of people they feel comfortable with. And I get all the cool weirdos and the outcasts and they have a home there in my program. So that's been a really wonderful experience. I'm at one of the family's homes from my program right now. I was like, I need a place to record this. Are you around? Yes. Come over, come in our back house. And so, but it's been a really incredibly rewarding, job, and I look forward to doing it for many years. My program started at like 35 kids, and now I have like 110.
Wow, nice,
it's
dude,
unbelievable. But yeah, besides that, I mean, I'm still auditioning, still working here and there, and you know, trying to get as much voiceover, commercial, whatever. I'm open to it all for sure.
How cool was being on Breaking Bad?
Oh man. It was the most amazing experience and the most heartbreaking experience of my life.
Really?
Like, I was in the penultimate episode, right? I was in Granite State. I was in the second to last episode, and I had a nice little scene. The thing was, I did not have to audition for that role. They offered it to me. They called me and offered it to me, which was incredibly kind of them. I had auditioned a bunch of times for a bunch of meth heads and a bunch of weird drug dealers and a bunch of characters, and I just never landed it. I was just not right for all of those parts. So I got a call from the casting and they said, hey, we want you on the show before it's over. We just want you on the show before it's over. We have this role to be Skylar White's public defender. And Peter Gould, who is the director of the show, I got to set and I found out Peter Gould was a fan of mine from Mad TV. Like he loved Mad TV and he gushed when he met me. So I was like, what is happening right now? Are you kidding me? This is crazy. So it was an incredible experience. It was my favorite show. The heartbreaking part was seeing the episode and seeing that all of my lines were taken out. So it's just me kind of reacting. You still see me. Still see me. I'm part of it. Peter directly emailed me and explained to me, said, look, dude, it had nothing to do with performance. We loved you.
Of course not.
We had a lot to cover in that last episode. We had to lose something. We had to lose some of that dialogue. But you see I'm like a deer in headlights, right? I'm like, I'm out of my element. I can't defend Skylar White. Like, this is a crime that's way too big for this public defender. And Peter told me, he was like, you captivated it. You got that. You captivated the feeling with just the look. So you should be really proud of yourself. He didn't have to do that. I felt very fortunate to be a part of it. It was just heartbreaking that I couldn't be like, here's an actual scene with some dialogue. But well, that happens. It happens all the time.
It's still a credit. And you know,
part of it.
You're a big boy and you know how it works anyway, I'm sure. So yeah, that's pretty cool. Hey, so before I let you go, what we talk about on this show is movies and TV. So what are you watching, man? Can you recommend something other than Dark Matter, a movie or TV show you're into?
Okay. Oh my goodness. Well, yes, Dark Matter. Absolutely. You have to go see, Baby Reindeer.
Yeah.
What a head trip that show is on Netflix. Yes, that is I just feel so dirty.
Yeah.
But I can't look away. I'm really enjoying that. I'm with Conrad. I'm very excited about Deadpool.
Conrad,
I'm with you. Deadpool 3. Awesome. I can't wait for it. Scary movies. Were you asking about scary movies? Because I'll tell you my favorite scary movie.
Yeah,
my favorite
scary
movie is Strangers. The Strangers. Have you seen that one?
What is that?
Dude, The Strangers is the reason it's so terrifying. It's what is it? Liv Tyler is in it. I can't remember the gentleman's name that's in it. Dude, the problem, and from us being from Wisconsin, right? I mean, I'm Wisconsin strong. I love everybody there. I love hearing, just even hearing Minocqua makes me happy and want to have a cheese curd. You know, like, oh, God, I just want to have myself a, you know, a spotted cow and some cheese curds.
Absolutely.
But I will tell you, the strangers, what's terrifying about it is I spent time in the country. Those houses are a little far apart. And it's the terrifying part of that movie is it's plausible. Like it's
love. Yeah, that.
You could, if they came to your house and you can't scream or be heard from the, that's the terrifying part. And the whole reason behind it was just that they were home. There's no rhyme or reason. There was no, like, they didn't prepare to attack or torture these people. They were like, let's go at this house. Let's terrorize these people. That's what's terrifying about
from 2008. Liv Tyler, Scott Speedman. Yeah, it's not, yeah. This is great. I never saw this, and I don't remember.
Speedman, that's what it was.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great recommendation.
Ooh, dude, it's unsettling, man. It's unsettling for us Wisconsin country folks, for sure.
If you're ever here, you got to come into the studio. We got to hang out, man. I would love to have you on the show. We'll have you on again, your schedule permitting anyway, but if you're ever in the area for some crazy reason, please let me know.
Absolutely, Pete. It's just been a pleasure, man. It's so good to see you again, buddy.
So good to see you too, buddy. Thanks for being here. Love you, man. Have a great night, and keep doing what you're doing. You're great.
You too. Really, my mom will kill me if I don't say she's a huge fan of yours and a huge fan of your show. So letting you know.
Linda that's awesome.
Loves your show. She loves your programs.
Tell her I said hello. We'll give her a shout out. Absolutely. Thanks. That's great. Thanks so much, Eric.
I for sure will.
Okay, buddy. We'll see you. That's Eric Price. That was fun catching up. Little trip down memory lane, and great to connect with Eric. He's an incredibly talented guy. There are some people you meet that you just want to do another project with so you can work with people, and he's definitely one of them. All right. On Stage for Cancer is live in studio next. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabe anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabe. I believe in
miracles. Oh, that's good. Hey, welcome back. That is the voice of Kim Shevchik. I can say her name so easily now.
Yeah, I feel honored that someone outside of the Shevchik family can say Shevchik. And I count these two as honorary families.
Why don't you introduce your friends, Christine and Paul?
Christine and Paul Piat.
Great to have you guys back as well.
Thank you.
Kim dragged you to the studio.
They are those forever friends that you can be like, I know it's past your bedtime, but can you come out past 8 o'clock? And they were like, yes.
Boy, I don't use.
Technically, I said no. And then she goes, but you get to see Pete. And I was like, all right, I'm in.
Done.
Yeah. Done. Yeah. Yeah.
But 8 o'clock, yeah. I mean, I don't throw the word lame around a lot, but 8 o'clock is an early bedtime.
Okay, to be fair, it's their dogs. It's their dogs that, their dogs dictate.
I want to change that. I have a ton of respect for anyone who can actually get to sleep at 8 o'clock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the dogs run the house.
Mm-hmm. They run the Piata house. They do. What are the dogs' names?
Cora and Pippin.
Oh, those are great dogs.
Yes. Cora is very smart and probably could do physics and, you know, build a bomb. And
she's conniving.
She really is. Mm-hmm. And Pippin is happy-go-lucky and love everyone. Mm-hmm. Gets
dogs and he'll drool on you and he loves you.
I kind of agree with Paulo. That would be tough. Unless there's just the brains behind it and someone with thumbs to do the work, right?
Mm-hmm.
She could figure it out.
See, they have a train.
That's right. Oh, I got to read this quick, and then we'll talk about On Stage for Cancer. Jack from Merrimack, the 414. If I don't read this now, I know I'll forget, and I pride myself on never forgetting a text.
I'm impressed.
And think about your favorite horror movies, because we're talking about that too. So, Jack,
I totally know this.
Jack from Merrimack might have just won the text thread tonight. He says, favorite horror movie? I don't do horror movies. Having stated that, I do see a lot of sci-fi movies, and I'd put the original Alien up there with any horror movie I've heard of. Jack from Merrimack. Well done, sir. That's a scary movie.
It is. That is, I remember being like afraid to go to bed, after seeing that movie.
It was like,
having nightmares.
And the, I mean, that's scary. Gross part with the alien coming out of his stomach was horrible, but like just the fact that you don't know where the thing is on the ship is just, that's just awful. All right. Great to have you guys here.
Thanks. Totally great. Totally great to be back and getting closer to our big event. So,
which is June 1st.
June 1st.
Lay it on us.
Oh, my goodness. So we are incredibly excited to have our inaugural event called Audrey's Angels on Stage for Cancer at the Widener. It's at 6:30. There's tickets available. It's going to be an evening like no other with music, art, a lot of people gathering from the music community in Northeast Wisconsin in support of our friend Audrey Nowak. But our nonprofit that we started on Stage for Cancer is also going to take 75% of the proceeds will go to Audrey. A lot of these musicians are her friends.
Wow.
But 25% is going to go to kind of our starting money towards the area, people in the gig economy. So people who are artists, musicians who are affected by cancer, as well as entrepreneurs, small business entrepreneurs. So people who don't have that traditional safety net if they would get cancer or a loved one in their family would get cancer.
That is really cool. When do you think gig economy became a thing? I love that. I love that
phrase. I feel like people started realizing it was a real economy in COVID. I think a lot of us who have friends who are musicians, we're just wannabe musicians, but we actually had, I wasn't brave enough to get a music job. I just thought I needed a real job. And I know a lot of people who really are musicians. So they're doing gigs. They're doing little sets here. They're playing in somebody's wedding, funeral, bar mitzvah, whatever, and they're making money. And then when they didn't have those things during COVID, all that income's gone. Or if you get cancer and your fingers can't play because you have neuropathy or you are so sick you can't show up to do, you know, the symphony, whatever. It's unbelievable that people really are sidelined in a way that you can't recoup.
Well, you guys, I mean, for... Now, I think the first time you were here was Doctors in Recital.
Yes.
And
our other love affair.
I could not believe. Yeah, but like, it's amazing to me that I thought you guys were professional musicians the first time. I mean, and you kind of are because you're getting paid. You're just doing something nice with the money. But like, anyway, that was really cool. And
I appreciate that. We are not pros. we aren't pros because we don't like to practice. It's a very dirty word in our entourage.
You were practicing down the hall though when you were here.
For you,
I heard the
we
practicing.
Do it for special things.
Well, yeah. Paul makes us.
I kind of make that.
Yeah, actually,
there is a bare minimum.
Paul's cracking the whip.
He does.
he brings us down.
I am the weakest link.
So, all right, so. It's June 1st, 6:30 at the Widener. Where can people get tickets? Can they still get tickets?
They can still get tickets.
Okay.
So our website is pretty easy. Onstage4cancer. Onstage4cancer.org.
Very clever name, by the way. I love the name.
Thank you. So .org or .com, it'll get you there. And also through Ticketstar.
Okay.
So those are two easy to find places on the internet. Yeah. You can also visit our Facebook page. We're on Instagram. So we are really just looking to connect with people. I'm sure we'll have tickets available at the door, but we would love to know who's coming. And like I said, we're going to have live art being painted on stage during the event, is not something you see very often.
Right.
A local artist, and Trisha Spice is very talented. And some of the things that she's going to do is incorporate some of the music, actual sheet music, into her piece.
Oh,
it'll
cool.
be auctioned off at intermission. We have student art that'll be on display. We have
Your own students?
The students from the community.
Yeah.
Students from the community.
Okay.
Yep.
We also have some friends that are bakers, and we've got some fun little things going on. We have tons of donations from area businesses that we'll be able to auction off too. So just like truly one of a kind. But the music is going to be amazing. And the Piats are just one example of that amazingness. Their whole family is doing a number, and their kids are super talented.
What's the song? Can you say what you're going to sing?
Sure. We're going to do Louder Than Words from Tick, Tick, Boom.
Oh, I don't know that song. It's that's very cool. It sounds cool.
You know Rent, the musical?
Yeah.
You know who wrote Rent?
No.
Jonathan Larson.
Yes, I did know that. I didn't.
Jonathan Larson also had written Tick, Tick, Boom, which is basically autobiographical. Yeah. And it's a pretty powerful story. The song means a lot to their family.
It does. Very cool.
The gist of it is cages or wings, which would you prefer? Ask the birds.
Nice. That's really, so how old are your kids?
Oh my gosh. They both had a birthday. Oh. 18 and 20.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we're in the same boat. Yeah. No. They're fun though at that age too though, right?
They really are.
Yeah.
They are awesome humans. Very, very awesome.
Yet, I'm envious that they sing with you because my daughter is 18. She's got a gorgeous voice. She's going pursuing musical theater. Oh. And I'll play my guitar and I'll say, and I'm bad, but I can play the basics. And I'll say, come on in here. It's like, we like that song by Aha, you know, Talking Away. And I'll go, come on, I'll play that. And she's like, nah, I don't think so, Dad. I can't get her to sing with me. I go, look, I won't even sing. I'll just play, you sing. But it's not happening.
So she's going for music theater?
Musical theater, yeah.
Where?
I think NMU. Trying to make it work. So it's out of state.
Someone in our show is going to be going to NMU for music theater.
For music theater.
Yeah. One of the high school kids.
Yeah.
Get out of town.
That's singing in our couple. So we have a alumni blend of choir high school kids that sang or played with Audrey that'll be doing a song, and she's one of them. We also have a number that has the music theater kids who did Grease last year. So they're going to be doing a little number from Grease. That's kind of fun.
Excellent.
But yeah, and then we have symphony. We've got bluegrass. We have a music theater husband and wife, Kent Paulson, Emily Paulson. They're local musicians here, very talented. He's at St. Norbert. This kind of hodgepodge, but it's going to be all brought together. You know, our tagline is empowering cancer thrivers one note at a time.
Thrivers, I like it. Yeah.
So we're just, I don't know. We're
That's
kind of
so
on
cool.
fire about how cool this is going to be. And it's really, really going to be good. We're working on our program, final edits here. We were busy when we were waiting to come on. So.
I love that you have different music, too. I love eclectic kind of vibe. And I love people that want to see that. You know what I mean? Like, it's so much fun. Yeah. Are you guys, can you play something for us?
Yes. Sure.
What are you gonna play?
Should we do Dolly?
Sure.
We can do Dolly.
All right, this is Paul and Christine and Kim doing Dolly on Nightlight.
Back through the years, I go wandering once again. Back to the seasons of my youth. When I recall the box of rags that someone gave us. And how my mama put the rags to use. There were rags of many colors, and every piece was small. And I didn't have a coat, and it was way down in the fall. Mama sewed the rags together, sewing every piece with love. She made my coat of many colors that I was so proud of. And as she sewed, she told the story from the Bible she had read, about a coat of many colors that Joseph wore. Then she said, perhaps this coat will bring you good luck and happiness. And I just couldn't wait to wear it. My mama blessed it with a kiss. My coat of many colors that my mama made for me, made only from rags, but I wore it so proudly. And although we had no money, I was rich as I could be. And my coat of many colors, my mama made for me. So with patches on my breeches and holes in both my shoes, in my coat of many colors, I hurried off to school just to find the others laughing and making fun of me. In my coat of many colors, my mama made for me. And they didn't understand it, for I felt I was rich. and I told them all the love that my mama sewed in every stitch. And I told them all the stories that mama told me while she sewed, and how my coat of many colors was worth more than all their clothes. But they didn't understand it, and I tried to make them see that one is only poor, only if they choose to be. And now I know we had no money, but I was rich as I could be. In my coat of many colors, my mama made for me, made just for me.
Wow, Christine, Paul, and Kim, that was outstanding.
Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton. I've heard of her. I'm familiar with her work.
Yeah, she's done a couple things.
What is that song called?
Coat of Many Colors.
I love it. It's kind of be kind of a newer song. I heard of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat reference.
Dolly's original.
She's still turning it out.
Mm-hmm.
What did you guys see Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor?
Yeah,
many times.
Kim was in Joseph. Whoa, and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
I got dragged to it. I was like, whatever, okay. It was like Donny Osmond, you know.
Oh,
and
you
like,
saw Donny?
I think I did. And the whole week after it, I'm dancing around my apartment. Go, go, Joe.
I know. It sounds ridiculous. It sounds like, what? That sounds kind of dumb. And then you can't help but get hyped up.
The music is just great.
Yes.
So it's On Stage for Cancer. Audrey's Angels, On Stage for Cancer. It's June 1st at the Widener Center at 6:30. Kim Shevchik, the organizer, and along with Paul and Christine Piat are here. Again, second time for all of you. You're almost night-like besties.
We are.
We need a better phrase than besties we have to come up with. I don't want to sound like an eighth grade girl.
Better phrase than besties.
So we'll think about that. Coming up next, more.
We're fire.
With this tremendously talented trio here on Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Subterranean by design. I wonder what I would find if I met you. Let my eyes caress you until I meet the thought of Mrs. Princess, who often wonder what makes her work. I guess I'll leave that question to the experts, assuming that there are some out there.
I got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric, wavy when I turn it on. All through my city, all through my home. We're flying up, no ceiling when we in our zone.
We're back on Nightlight here. Great to have you with me on this Thursday night. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, folks, but I always get excited when we have in-studio live performers, and that's who we have here. Kim Shevchik, Paul and Christine Piat are here. The show is Audrey's Angels, On Stage for Cancer at the Widener, June 1st, 6:30. There are still tickets available. They're going to have an artist on the stage.
Yes.
The whole Piat family is gonna perform. Mm-hmm. It's an eclectic mix of music. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And I know Doctors in Recital was an incredible success, too. So yeah. I'm hoping this one is just as well for you guys. And it's for such a great cause. It's so cool you're doing this.
Well, we have been really, really fortunate to have great support from the community, people like you. We've got great sponsorships already leading into this from local businesses, and just a wonderful, I mean, cancer touches everyone. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, that's not a positive. But the positive is what it inspires in others, the hope, the thriving that people just really push through. Our friend Audrey is, I mean, the things she's going through with her chemo, it's unbelievable. But the hope and the perseverance and the strength, it's like, oh, we're just going to put on a concert and try to raise some money. That's easy.
Well, she's lucky to have friends like you. That's really... That's cool.
She chose some crazy friends who aren't intimidated, and we like to...
No, I mean, like, even if you guys were bad singers, she's lucky to have friends like you. You obviously really like her.
Okay, well, there is some truth to the... Audrey did pick the majority of the people in the show.
Oh, okay.
So it was a little strategery, and it wasn't because she... I mean, her love and respect for musicianship is very, very high, but she also picked people that really have a connection with her emotionally too. So it's, I mean, a labor of love. You're always going to get something really amazing out of it. One of our friends, Ralph Vardis, who is a doctor, he wrote a song, and we have the lyrics because it's just the lyrics alone, but it's called Cathedral Stone. And the message behind it is he really wanted it to convey hope, and just particularly the fear that she would survive chemo but end up with the neuropathy being permanent that would take away her ability to do music. Mm-hmm. And it's just like a labor of love produces stuff like that, you know? And even even in the darkness, you know, you find the light. So
absolutely,
that's why our logo too. It's not just about, oh, the shining light on stage, but there's actually light coming from above. So
can we hear something else?
Yes.
Yes, sing something sure. else for us?
This one's pretty much all Chris and Paul.
Okay.
This is a little Zach Brown Band.
Oh, nice.
Just as free underneath the harvest moon, to all the things that lovers do, just me and you. Just as free, free as we'll ever be. Just as free. Don't have a lot of money. No, we 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 don't have a lot of money.
Kim Shevchik, Christine, and Paul Piatt. Conrad, are you crying?
I am.
Okay. Stop. Your tears of joy.
Did the, no, we don't Their have a lot of money joy. Really resonate with you?
Yes, it did. It did.
I'm not going to lie. I felt that.
I felt it in my heart.
You guys give the air of having a lot of money. I don't know what you're... How much do all of you make a year? I think that's important that we know.
What's
We're
less
a nonprofit.
Zero.
Yeah, what's less than zero?
The show is Audrey's Angels on Stage for Cancer, June 1st at the Widener, 6:30. Lots of different kinds of music, art on stage throughout the show, and it's just a great cause. And I wish you guys luck.
You gotta come.
So it's you. We maybe we can get you back before then. Are you guys sick of singing on the show?
No.
I mean, I'm kind of liking this late night stuff.
I know you don't like to practice, and I know Paul's a kind of a slave driver over there, but yeah. Tomorrow night on Nightlight, Rich Locascio will do some wrestling announcing here in the studio, and Terry Barr will be by. We'll be back tomorrow night with more Nightlight. Thank you to Eric Price, Kim Shevchik, Paul and Christine Piat, and all your texts and calls. So much fun. Thank you guys for being here tonight.
Thank you for having us.
Good night, Wisconsin. Just move right